Welcome, and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is the February 1st, 2026 service at Plymouth, the fourth Sunday of Epiphany. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. And we begin with the hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Blessed are those who delight in the way of the Lord.
They rise like light in the darkness for others.
We come to praise the God whose faithfulness endures forever.
We come to learn from him how
faith takes shape in daily life. Jesus calls us salt of the earth, light of the world, not to hide what God has given, but to let it shine. Come, let us worship the God whose love shows up among us.
Next are verses 1 and 4 of the hymn, For the Healing of the Nations.
We know God to be a very gracious God. Let us go to God in prayer, prayer of confession, and speak honestly, speak truthfully. Please join me in our printed prayer of confession found in the bulletin. God of light and truth, we confess that we often prefer faith that is quiet and hidden, safe from risk and safe from notice. We know your call to be salt and light, yet we hold back when faith costs us something. We grow cautious when love asks more than comfort allows. Forgive us when our fears dim the light you've placed within us. Renew our trust in you. so that our lives may once again show the grace we have received. Amen. Hear the good news. God's mercy is steady and steadfast. God's forgiveness is sure. Those who trust in the Lord are not abandoned to fear, but strengthened for lives of goodness and generosity. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and we are set free, free to live as light in the world. Thanks be to God. Let us sing in response this beautiful hymn, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord.
Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and the compassionate and the righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. This is the word of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, Thy Word.
Thank you.
We turn to our gospel reading found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. This is one more section of the Sermon on the Mount preached by Jesus to a multitude of people. We begin at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything. It is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Rather, they put it on a lampstand. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth shall pass away, not one iota, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. And we're doing something different here. Let's then go to our response to the word. And I know that you don't have it in your bulletins because we had to shrink things to make sure they fit. Oh, you do have. We have the revised edition. Okay, well, good. We'll both have the same words then. Jesus says, let your light shine before others. May our faith be seen in works of love and hope. The righteous live with generosity and courage.
May our lives reflect God's enduring faithfulness.
We are called to embody the good news. With God's help, we will live what we believe. Amen. In your bulletins, you have a brief title. I've enlarged that title beyond living what we believe and added to it being salt and light in a time of lament. There are times in our work world where we go through this ordeal. It's usually once a year. It's called a performance review, and it's something we workers don't look forward to at all, as a supervisor has their way in saying whatever they want to. Well, there was an article written some while ago in Preaching Magazine that listed a number of quotes that were actual job performance reviews given to employees. I thought I'd share a few. I wouldn't allow this employee to reproduce. He must have gotten into the gene pool when the lifeguard wasn't looking.
Oh, good.
Boy, that would stimulate a new attitude toward work, wouldn't it? Well, or this one, or these, I should say. This associate is really not so much as a has-been, but a won't-be. Works well under constant supervision and quartered like a rat in a trap. Ouch. Ouch. This young lady has delusions of adequacy. Or this one, sets low personal standards and consistently fails to achieve them. Wow. Or these. This employee is depriving a village somewhere of an idiot. Gates are down, lights are flashing, but the train isn't coming. It goes on. If you stand close enough to him, you can hear the ocean. Gotta think about that one, don't you? Some drink from the fountain of knowledge. He only gargled. Wait a minute. There it is. Oops, sorry, I didn't forward the slide well enough for you. Those performance reviews, I don't believe would have spurred me or any of us into higher achievement, being a better worker. Jesus, on the other hand, motivates in quite a different way. And so living what we believe, being salt and light in a time of lament. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." These words that Jesus speaks don't sound the same in every season. Sometimes these words, "You are salt, you are light," sometimes these words, they feel like encouragement. You've got a job to do, and only you can do it as salt, as light. There are times when these words feel like responsibility. A load has been lowered on our shoulders. And there are times like this one, when they feel heavy. This week, I struggled with a passage of "You are salt and you are light." I've rewritten my sermon several times in order to be true to what we're living through right now. Because in recent weeks, many of us have carried grief that we didn't go looking for. We heard about American citizens killed in encounters with our own federal authorities. We've listened to official statements that do not tell the whole truth. We have watched truth bend, blur, and sometimes even disappear altogether. And we're left with sorrow, anger, confusion, and a deep weariness of spirit. The Bible has names for times like this, and it is called lament. And times of lament are not a time of lack of faith, no. Lament is faith that refuses to lie about the pain. And the Psalms are full of it. They say, "How long, O Lord? Why do you hide your face from me?" Or even, "Why do the powerful go unchallenged?" Jesus knew lament. He wept at graveside. He cried out on the cross. He did not rush past suffering to get to resurrection. So when Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, you are light of the world," he's not speaking to people who have everything figured out. He's speaking to people who are living under empire, people who know loss, people who are afraid to say the wrong thing, people who wonder whether their lives still make a difference. Salt in Scripture, it's a sign of faithfulness. It preserves what otherwise would decay. Salt does not shout. It works quietly, slowly, and often completely unnoticed. Light in Scripture does not erase the darkness. It shares space with darkness. One candle, it doesn't banish the night, but it makes the night different. So in times like these, being salt, being light, does not mean having answers. It does mean refusing to pretend that pain is not real. So it means that we do not rush to explanations when people have died. It means we don't accept false stories simply because they come from those in power. It means we remember faces. We remember names. We remember families. And we remember grief. And lament. Lament says, this should not be. So many of us are tired. Some of us feel our voices are small, our reach limited. Our energy is not what it once was. And yet Jesus does not withdraw his words, because he does not say, you were the light. He does not say, you will one day again be light. Jesus says, you are. You are. And that may look like quiet faithfulness. That in the midst of grief, we're lighting a candle and praying when words fail. We tell the truth gently when lies are loud. We're refusing to grow cynical, refusing to grow cruel. We are showing the way and teaching the next generation that every life bears God's image. And we, through it all, we are grieving without turning away. Eric Butterworth once told a story about a college professor who had his sociology class break class early and go out into the Baltimore slums. And as they did so, they were supposed to go and find 200 young boys, sit down with them, and get their case histories. Yes, have them tell their life stories. The students were asked to write an evaluation of each of the boys' futures. That from their stories, from what they learned, what kind of life ahead would these boys have? In every case, all 200 students or boys that were interviewed, the class students wrote this: he hasn't got a chance, has not got a chance. 25 years later, another sociology professor came across that earlier study. He thought, what would it mean to follow up on those earlier interviews and those results of he hasn't got a chance? I wonder where those boys ended up. So he had his students, 25 years later, go out to find out what happened to those boys. Out of 200, they couldn't contact 20 of them. Those 20 had either died or moved away from the area. And so they went to the other 180, and they learned from 176 that all 176 had achieved extraordinary success as lawyers, as doctors, as business people. The professor was confounded. He decided to pursue matters further. Fortunately, all the men who were in the area, he was able to ask them and say, how do you account for your success? And each one he interviewed said, well, there was this teacher. And you teachers probably know the rest of the story. That teacher was still alive. And so he sought her out, asked this elderly but very alert woman, what magical formula did she use to pull these boys out of the slums and into a successful achievement? The teacher's eyes sparkled. Her lips broke into a gentle smile. It's really very simple, she said. I loved those boys. Well, no wonder those boys succeeded. Their teacher loved them. What an answer. What is the reason for your success in life? Well, there was a teacher, and what a difference teachers make. Love is not flashy. Love is not fast. Love is often born in lament, and in this case, in the slum. Jesus himself stood in the darkness and did not look away. He entered it. He named it. And still he trusted that God was at work, even when it was hard to see. So today, in the days we live in, feeling that heavy burden of lament, today, we do not rush to hope. We do sit with grief. We tell the truth. We pray. We trust that even now, even here, even in our weariness, God's light has not gone out. A small flame still burns. A little salt still preserves. And for today, that is enough. We are being salt and light in a time of lament. Let the candle burn. Well, let the salt preserve. Amen.
Next is the hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
By the truth, you now bring us to shine on me.
Next is the hymn, "We've a Story to Tell the Nations."
We're going to sing just two verses, 1 and 2, of "We've a Story to Tell to the Nations."
We've a story to tell to the nations.
So friends, go now as salt of the earth, as light of the world. Trust in the Lord and do not be afraid. Live your faith with generosity and quiet courage. And may the God whose righteousness endures forever strengthen you to shine today and in the days to come. Amen.
Amen.